The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here are David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, all right. Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host, Dave Littlejohn, and I've got with me in studio
Katie Shook.
Yep. And so we have a special guest who's joining us, one of our team members who's visiting from out of area. You got to say hi, Kelsey.
Hello.
All right. See, and so Kelsey's a little shy, but we did insist on dragging her in here because she's brilliant. So,
well, and it gives everybody a chance to hear her voice because she has a wonderful voice and she answers the phone for our firm. So it allows our
listeners. Well, so much more than.
She does a ton more than that, but yeah. I'm saying it allows our listeners to actually hear her.
Yeah, we don't have a receptionist, right?
No.
In fact, the way our firm works, the phone rings in such a way that there's a whole group of people that's in charge and like a rank system for like the order in which you try to get the calls, right? So we kind of have first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and so forth. There's, and you know, like if the phone rang more than three times, you might actually get me.
Which, as funny as that sounds, you don't want to get David.
Right.
Because David will wreck it.
That's an unmitigated disaster, just saying. But
He'll wreck it, Ralph, right on the phone line.
Yeah, but we have what we call air traffic control. Now, air traffic control, if you've ever flown, guess what? Yeah, the pilot's in charge of the airplane, but that airplane doesn't leave the ground until air traffic control gives instructions.
Or come down to the ground.
That's the other, is that airplane doesn't voluntarily come out of the sky without permission.
Yeah.
So involuntarily, that's a different story. But air traffic control is extraordinarily important because what do they really do, right? They route all the traffic everywhere that it needs to go. So essentially, it's the ultimate logistical position.
And I've heard, now, I know that we're talking about answering our phones, but don't airplanes land like every 6 minutes? Like, isn't it something really tight?
Faster than that.
And I will tell you, I flew down to Southern California in a little plane, like a little four-seater, and we landed in Burbank with all the big guys, and they kept saying, get the heck off the runway. And I felt like the cartoon movie planes, like there was a big old Southwest plane coming in, like they were going to run us over. It was like, you better get off the tarmac now, or you will now be windshield feed. So it was crazy, like how fast they keep going.
This is extra trivia.
Extra.
Right, for our listeners. I know you guys love extra trivia, and I love sharing. The extra trivia is that, so the big planes, part of the issue is they just land so much faster. And so the stall speed of an aircraft is how slow can it fly before it stops, the wings stop generating lift, right?
Okay.
And there's some other elements too. Some pilot others going, well, there's also the angle of attack or the angle of incident. I'm like, you stop it now, you know it all. They're not wrong. But when if a wing is not lifting, that plane is not flying. So a plane can only get so slow before it's not flying, and now it's falling.
Before it's a falling tank.
Okay. The other thing is they change the wing. Why do you think when you're landing they lower the flaps down?
Yeah.
The change lowers the speed that the plane is able to fly on approach. But a little plane lands at a little speed, relatively speaking. Big planes will land somewhere between, let's say, a 70 and 120 miles an hour. It's usually over 100 miles an hour when they're touching down and rapidly slowing down. Little planes are landing at between 50 and 70 miles an hour. So the 50-mile-an-hour plane is going to get overtaken by the 100-mile-an-hour plane really fast.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You get yourself off that runway.
Quickly. We were like, okay, we're turning now. And they're like, no, go. No, we're turning now. We're getting off.
Yeah, exactly.
As fast as we can.
Versus here, little airports where there's no tower. You know, it's just the planes talking to each other and kind of self-coordinating, right? But, you know, the larger the organization, or in this case, larger the airport and the higher the traffic, the more you require
a
logistics
traffic controller
and management. And so Kelsey is really the front line of logistics for us because you also do way more than, I mean, like somebody answers the phone, but we do all kinds of stuff. And I don't believe in receptionists almost I know we just require more than that. We don't have anybody that's like,
I mean,
yeah, Vanilla.
We may get to a point one day where all we do is have somebody answer the phones, but that we're not there. I mean, everybody in the team pulls together and we all share workloads and we all cross train so that we all know what's going on, and people can take vacations then and holidays and sick days and family days, and the organization doesn't get disrupted.
Yep.
Because we're tiny in
comparison. Well, I mean, we're
a small business. We're under 10 employees.
We're a small business. We're growing. And thank you to all of you. Some of you listeners out there, you are clients, to which
and
we say,
helped us grow.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. And
yeah,
we thank you for sharing us with your friends and everything. So anyhow, I don't know how I deviated from that.
Air traffic
right
control.
Well, other than because Kelsey's joined us today, right?
So Kelsey is getting a firsthand look at.
Yes, they cannot hear you nod.
Yeah, you have to actually.
I've been nodding the whole time.
Yeah, use your words, as we tell our children. Use your words. You have to explain.
The hilarious thing is, Kelsey's one of the extroverts of the office. The radio is kind of intimidating the first time. Promise by the end of the show, you'll forget that you're on the radio. We're just having a conversation. But you guys that have listened for a while, you know, you try it sometime, right? Walk on in and just see how you feel when you think, like, but everybody's listening. And I go, that is the point. That's true.
In my head, there's like five people. And I know that's not true, but I think that's what helps calm my nerves is I just think, oh, there's like five people listening to us, so it's not a big deal. I know that is really not true.
Well, what I'm reminded of is that we have the good ones that listen.
We do.
Right? So I know that like our listeners, they're the good ones. Right. And if you're out there, you're listening, you know who you are. Right. So we got the good ones listening. And if you're not one of those people, I don't know, change the channel. you know, I don't need you. We don't need that kind of baggage. We're an optimistic group and we're looking to find the nuggets. Right. And we're mining for gold today. So there are a couple things that we're going to talk about. One of them, hey, you know, we had a handful of milestones today. First one, the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Yeah.
Topped 30,000. First time ever. Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Incidentally, all-time high crossing, you know, so we're setting records here.
So would this be officially considered a Santa Claus rally now? Or at what point is it considered a Santa Claus rally?
Okay, so fun question. First, you got to explain, it's kind of self-explanatory, but let our listeners know, what are you talking about? What's Santa Claus rally?
So isn't that usually because there's more money kind of going into the market because people are buying things because of Christmas, and so markets tend to go up a little bit during Christmas time?
Okay, so...
You're not having fun with this one.
Right?
I'm not. Well, no,
first, rally is that, right? A rally is when the markets are on a run higher.
Right.
Okay? Just like a sports team, you know, you want rally is like, okay, they're doing really well. They're making a comeback.
Let's keep them going. Yay.
In this case, it's not a comeback. It's like, hey, the rally is like, let's keep the hits coming. Let's more scores. So the markets at this point are continuing higher. Now, we talked about even prior to the election that we didn't think that the election necessarily was going to dictate the outcome of the market. We just thought the market wanted to be done with the election so it could figure out where to adjust and for businesses to figure out, like, how are we going to adjust to potential changes in tax policy and market policy and so forth.
Right.
So, all right, the election, the vote finished. We've
is
said
the
this,
election over? Have we officially called it over yet?
Well, you know... We are, I guess, technically part of the media right now when we do this. Even though that's not what we do, we have a show on media. So I'm not going to be one of these that's just going to call. Formally, it hasn't been called. But I will say, like I said before, the evidence indicates that given what we know and how the votes are going to be counted and how it's likely to shake out, Biden's going to be the president.
Right.
Okay.
And at what point is he, because I mean, I know the election's in November, but isn't it like January 1 or in January when it's official?
Yeah, January is when the transition occurs. Yeah, that's when the baton is formally passed. The period in between right now is the lame duck period. So Donald Trump would be the lame duck because Congress is not in session and there's no policy being written for him to deal with. So it's like, what are you going to do?
What a weird thing, though. Like, hey, so pack up after Christmas and get out. Like, I wouldn't want to be moving the week after Christmas.
Oh, it's a hot mess. And, you know, there are still lawsuits. There are those that are still kind of holding out hope that their team will somehow, you know, pull this out because the election will be ruled invalid or illegal. I'm not even going to comment on the ifs or whens. My comment will be around this. I think it's a damn sad state in this world when whatever sources of media have included enough sources of propaganda alongside them that it's clouded and impeded our ability to trust our news sources.
Trust is...
I think that's a shame because how people don't trust. It's hard to vet truth now.
Well, and trusting a little bit of the government too. I mean, there's some people that, you know, will say like, I felt like before it was like, well, even if I didn't vote for the guy, he's my president and I respect him and, you know, I respect the office and the chair. And I feel like that's kind of gone away a little bit too, depending on what party you voted for.
I feel like that's really been slipping since the
Bush
administration.
Right, so for a while. Like this isn't
the
something
George
new
W.
for this one.
Not his dad, but post Clinton. So you had, I think, since the Bush administration, where you saw the proliferation of things like MoveOn.org, and you saw certain media sources that were pretty antagonistic. Now, I'm not going to say, like, there's been conservative radio forever, right? That's kind of thrown rocks. But we started to see more mainstream sources that started to take more editorial positions, or at least it appeared to be that way. But it became pretty loud and angry. And as social media and the internet has been proliferating and getting faster, we saw the vitriol for politicians get a lot worse. It's interesting to me that today, George Bush is largely viewed as a pretty nice guy by both teams. Like, you know, the folks that are on the left, they're like, well, you know, he was like hanging out painting with Barack Obama afterwards. You're like, well, that's pretty cordial. Maybe he's not so bad, right?
Right.
And the folks that were George Bush fans already are like, well, he still seems all right to me. I thought he had a bum rap to begin with.
Right.
So during the moment.
During the middle of the mud fight.
Yeah.
Everybody's
like everybody
angry,
gets, you
but
know,
at
a
the
bunch
end,
of people hate him. At the end, it's kind of like, maybe he's not so bad, especially compared to.
Right.
And therein lies the problem is that people are really willing to throw rocks these days. They're really willing. Like friends of yours, you guys are thinking out there right now, if you're listening, you know some folks that are, surprisingly, it's like, you know, face-to-face, they're pretty nice, but they get behind a computer screen and they throw rocks.
Well, it's in the trend of, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I've unfriended that person because I just can't listen to it any longer. Or I've unfriended that person because of what they've posted. And,
yeah.
And I've had friends that have been censored also. Like, you can't even see their posts any longer.
I think that's, we've got a bunch of endemic issues with the way we are now communicating, with the way opinions are proliferated, but also again, it's that discernment of what is real and what is not.
Right.
And I'll say it right. Look, I have trust issues. Stuff on social media, a lot of trust issues. I know how easy it is to make crap up. And if you know my daughters in the therapy they will have to go through because their sarcastic dad made stuff up. It's not that hard to just say it like you mean it and people will buy it. Well, that doesn't make it true.
Right.
It doesn't make it true. So anyway, this one, we're going to chalk this segment up to, I get it, the world is kind of hard to discern. So what we're going to spend the next little while talking about is whether you agree with it or not or like it or not, it appears that there are some changes coming. And I want you to know what that can mean for you as an investor. But we got to take this break. So stick around. We'll be right back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And Kelsey Davis.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. This is Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Katie Shook
and
Kelsey Davis.
All right. So Kelsey is a thank you for joining us. She's out of area, but we roped her in today and dragged her into studio. And so we're going to Have a good time. Look, if you're just joining us, don't forget that we do have a podcast of the show. You can check it out. We'll publish it tomorrow once it's done. So if you want to catch up on any of the shenanigans, go to littlejohnfs.com. And you'll be able to find it under the Educate tab. And we got a bunch of past programs there as well. So if you find yourself in the car looking for a good download, well, there are lots of things that might be good. But you could also listen to this. Ha, 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 ha.
Right? That was almost a maniacal laugh. That was like starting to be one. That wasn't quite
It was the slightly underwhelming. Did he just dog on his own show? Like maybe a little.
But it's your show, so you can do whatever you want.
We can get away with it, right? And again, I think our listeners get it, right? One thing that bugs me about financial programs, kind of bugs me about marketing in general. First, folks will talk over somebody. I mean, like, they'll just drop a bunch of industry jargon and nonsense because they're more interested in sounding smart than helping the listener to stay with them. That bugs me.
Well, and by the way, if you start doing that, all you see is like people's eyes roll in the back of their head. Like,
I think all you see is your ratings plummeting.
right?
So we don't want to do that. We're not here to alienate our listener.
We're here to educate.
Yeah. And the reality is our listeners are smart.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't speak German. I know a few German words, but I don't speak German as a language. So if that's the case, I need some translation. Well, maybe you don't speak finance. It doesn't mean that you can't understand it. It needs some translation.
That is actually a good point, by the way. So there's a big internal conflict that happens when people know that they're educated, that they have a higher degree, that they feel that they are smart people, right? They would deem themselves as a smart person. And yet some of what we do in our industry with the financial planning and some stuff is confusing to them, right? Like you said, they don't speak financial. And it's hard sometimes when you're like, but I'm a smart person. I should know this. Well, if you've never been taught, how are you going to know?
Or there's a dirty, dirty secret about finance.
Oh, goodness. Okay? What's the dirty secret?
Like a dirty secret about the economy and about investing. And people don't like to fess up to this.
You're just making fun of it now.
No, actually, this is real. It's just that most people, it's so obvious that, but you'd be surprised that some people they don't figure this out. Even
am I going to facepalm? Am I just going to be like, really?
Think you will.
I'm getting ready to roll my eyes. Okay, go ahead.
I don't think you will. The dirty secret is that it's not perfectible.
It's not perfectable.
Right? So like engineers will sit down and they will try to study the market thinking they can somehow solve it as I can solve the equation and I can crack the code. And I would say to you, not possible, because humans are part of the equation. And then people have said things, well, what if it was artificial intelligence? You know, more and more trades are computer generated. And I would say to you, doesn't last, because the markets abhor any kind of exploit.
Right.
Right. If there's a gap in the market, then we talked about this last week, by the way, right? The thing that says if it sounds too good to be true, why is somebody selling it to you? Because they're basically selling the exploit. And if they sell the exploit's going to get known and then it's going to get washed out of the system.
Well, and I feel like some of those exploits are kind of like little cancer cells. Like the body works on pushing it out so that it can heal itself.
It doesn't last. Uh-uh. If there's an arbitrage in the market, and an arbitrage, remember, that's I can do something at a lower price. Like I could borrow money at 1% and reinvest it in another bank at 5%. Then I basically is a risk-free transaction, right? I can borrow money for cheaper and reinvest it and get paid more. That's called arbitrage.
Wasn't there like a weird silver dollar coin thing? Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to look it up on the next break.
At the break, you check that out, because you just like,
no,
woo,
there was,
right over my head.
No. It was a weird credit card thing where they were buying silver dollar coins or something that were worth more. Oh my gosh. I'll have to find it. I'll find it and I'll get back to you guys after the break.
These exploits, though, even if that
existed,
it goes away, right? When somebody figures out that it doesn't work, they shut it down. Or the market closes the gap because the pricing shifts until it's no longer an exploit.
Right.
So that's the thing, is if you believe that you can get an exploit to the market, like if you really found one, don't share.
Go because profit then if everybody off of knows it, they're going to close it. Yeah.
Yeah, because it'll get washed out of the system once they figure out it's a gap.
I know what it was. It was a credit card's points thing, right? So people figured out like they had to meet a minimum threshold. So if they, you know, spent $4,000 in the first 3 months, then they got all the points. Well, what they did is they went and bought $4,000 worth of like silver coins, silver, like $1 coins. Right. And then they just took the coins and turned around and paid their payment. And so it was like a weird loophole. And then all of a sudden they went, oh, I see what you did. And now you can't do that.
Okay.
Do you remember that story?
I remember this. And I know where it came from.
I know where it came from, too.
The story
it came from 10X Travel.
Right. Because it was probably a year and a half, two years ago, we had on the show this expert in sort of gaming mileage points on credit cards to get free travel.
Right.
So we brought him on the show and said, well, what do you do? And they explained it to us. And that was one of those things of called manufactured purchases.
Right.
Right. It's like buying Visa gift cards with your Visa card. And then using the Visa gift card
to pay your Visa credit card.
So they figured out, like, well, you can't do that. So then they started shutting those loopholes. Because, again, the exploit worked until they figured it out, and then they'd get rid of the exploit. So markets hate exploits.
Right.
If you think you can get an exploit, just remember it's not likely to last.
Right.
So that's one of those dirty secrets, is that we can't predict the future, and the market isn't solvable. So what you do is you act on the best information that you can gather, and they're still investments. People tell me this is a gamble, and I go, if it's a gamble, it's a really high probability gamble. To me, gambles like, you know why Vegas is willing to have a casino?
Because they win most of the time.
Because their odds are better than the gambler.
Right.
You know why people keep investing?
Because their odds are better.
Yeah, the odds are in their favor, right? So you're not going to try to do something where the odds aren't. You want to be the house, not the gambler. And that's what the idea behind investing is.
Isn't that also why we say past performance is not, you know, produce like future.
It's no guarantee of future.
Right.
No, we say that for liability management. But let's be honest, right?
But that's exactly because past performance does not guarantee what it's going to do in the future. Like, we're just talking about the loopholes, right? Like, there may have been some great thing in the past, and it's not necessarily always there in the future.
Yeah, well, and it's, I would suggest the reason that that exists is because lawyers.
Yeah, right? True.
Now, Derek's not on the show to defend himself.
Hashtag truth.
But if you think about, and I have a funny one on this for all of our listeners out there wondering why there's weird rules. Essentially, the regulators in the financial industry have taken the position that most of the people in the industry are predators, and the people that are buying from the industry are prey.
Yeah, it's almost like the sheep and the wolves, right?
Yeah,
but
it's
the wolf in sheep's clothing.
So the regulator is there making the assumption that you, if you're not a professional listening to the show, if you're a consumer, that they are there to protect you from unscrupulous activities of the financial industry. So there's a bunch of exotic regulations, some of them quite odd. Like, for example, we cannot use testimonials. We could have bunches and bunches of really happy clients. I think we probably do. And they were not allowed to use any of their testimonials
as advertising.
To share as advertising. We can't, like, it's just against the rules, period. Right? And you know, we've talked to other marketing firms and said, well, hey, you know, we want to do this. And they're like, well, let's do a bunch of testimonials. It's like,
can't do it. So
you are not the firm for us because you don't understand the rules.
That was the hardest thing I had to learn when I first started working, and especially working in this industry, coming from other industries. I was like, what do you mean we can't use that? Like, why can't we? Everybody else does. And it's like, well, yeah, everybody else does, but not in the financial industry.
Yep. And it's their consumer protection rules. It's really what it comes down to, is we don't want to mislead. And so you've probably heard on this program, too, if you've listened for any length of time, we disclose. Like, we don't offer personal advice.
Right.
Okay, you got to come to the office for that. And you know what? Some of you have, and that's cool.
Or Zoom into the office for that.
Yes, you could Zoom in, because that's how it works.
That made it sound really fast. Zoom in.
But the idea, though, is personal advice happens one-on-one. Radio is one to many, right? Yeah, we're talking, but I realize you're my favorite listener, but there's more than one listener, right? So you're my favorite.
You're my favorite.
And if there's both of you listening and you're looking at each other, it's like, yep, you guys can figure it out.
Well, isn't there a weird caveat too that, like, we are not supposed to use pictures of like coins or money or something in our advertising?
Yeah, you're not supposed to use pictures of money. You can't make exaggerated claims. You can't say that something will happen if you can't guarantee it.
World's best advisor.
Like, you know, do things like, you know, I guess I can make guarantees where if the guarantee doesn't happen, there's no enforcement. Like, I guarantee the sun will rise tomorrow. Because you know what? If it doesn't, we're all in deep doo-doo. So I can make that guarantee. But I can't guarantee profits. Maybe I could guarantee losses, because we could, like, submarine that. But I don't know why anybody would sign up for a guaranteed loss. That sounds like a terrible idea.
Right. Bad idea.
I could guarantee bad ideas, but we don't want to do that.
No. Let's not do that on this show.
Exactly. So, okay. So... what did we learn this segment? We learned that you don't want to try to perfect the market. I guess that was the long, long-winded way to get there is the equation is unsolvable. So instead, it's about getting it mostly right most of the time. And I'm going to talk about the mostly right most of the time. What does it mean? So we're going to take our break. And when we come back, I want to talk about Janet Yellen. You might remember that name. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why you care. But we got to take this break first. So stick around, and we'll be right back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And Kelsey Davis.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang. Welcome back to the True Wealth Show. We are talking shop today, and I've got all kind of, the studio is still very socially distanced, okay? I just want everybody to be aware of that. We're socially distanced, but there are not six people here, so we're totally within our rights, and we're a cohort. So
there's times when I'm glad that we are on the radio and not on TV, because my face just, you know, naturally does things that I'm like, oh, I didn't filter that.
Yeah, she's giving a look like, why
does that matter?
So anyway, Dave, Kelsey and Katie are in studio.
He just pointed to us opposite. Did you see that? He called me Kelsey. He's like, Kelsey,
they both
Katie.
Work.
Well, what I'm thinking to myself is our poor listeners, if they realize, like, we have Kelsey and Katie. Seriously? Like, when you call in, it's like, so we've got Kelsey and Katie, and then there's two Heathers in my life, too. I'm like, really? Yeah. How did I pull this off?
Oh, yeah. By the way, they were in the same room at the same time today.
Right,
That was really fun confusing. When I was like, Heather, Mock, you go that way. Heather, Littlejohn, I have a question for you. Can we?
Yes.
Like, so we need fun nicknames, or we need to start using middle names or something.
I would say, though, that if we use middle names, then Justin and I are the same.
No.
What's Justin's middle name?
Edward. No. His is Edward. Lee. No.
Ed? Oh, that's right.
It's Edward.
My uncle. That's right. No, see, that's what we did. Sorry, Justin.
One
you're
point
right.
for Katie.
All right. That's
I was
a Katie
like,
win.
Not the same.
We'll check that one. Okay, look, let's get down to some business here, gang. If you have been listening to the show, you're just dying to know. But I've got to set the table a little bit here. Kelsey, I've got a trick question for you.
Okay.
Super hard. Okay. What's your favorite color?
Oh, I wasn't expecting that one. Pink.
Okay, see that now that she's laughing. Do you know who Janet Yellen is?
No, I don't.
Okay, do you care?
Yes, I do.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, because you're like, because you told me at the break I care.
Yeah, because I should care? Because you told me I should care?
Yeah. Well, the answer is you do. And so some of you out there listening, you know the name Janet Yellen, okay? And so I'm going to give you a brief history. Why is this significant, though? Well, the Biden administration is currently looking for a Treasury secretary, and Janet Yellen is the name that has come up.
So what did she used to do?
Well, let's explore, right? Janet Yellen was the previous to present
what?
Federal Reserve chair. The current Federal Reserve chair is Jerome Powell.
Right.
Prior to Jerome Powell was Janet Yellen.
Okay.
Janet Yellen came after Ben Bernanke. Okay.
Got it.
And the reason that Ben Bernanke matters is he was responsible for, after the 2008 market collapse, he didn't cause the collapse, by the way, but he engineered quantitative easing.
Ah.
Okay.
There's sometimes
QE,
when I'm like.
QE. All right.
Yeah.
And this goes, you've got to go back in history ways to know about this. So that's why, Kelsey, some of this stuff, you're, so we will not reveal ages on this program, but I will tell you that Kelsey is millennial. We can go with that. Yeah.
Millennial. Okay? That's what I identify.
She's one of the good ones, by the way. Yeah. Kelsey is a good one. So back in 2008, we had a massive market collapse, right? The stock market collapsed by about 50%.
I remember that.
Yep. And the financial institutions around us cratered, right? Several banks disappeared.
I'm trying to put it in perspective. Were you in junior high at that point?
Well, now you're going to reveal
my age. Yeah, we're not going to reveal that.
No. This is important. Like,
yeah.
The reason I'm asking that,
yes, I was in junior high.
Okay, but the reason I'm saying that is because there's a certain point in your age where you're kind of aware of what's going on in government. Like, you hear things either from your parents or your teachers, but it doesn't really affect you yet because mm-hmm. you're not necessarily working. You're not awake. You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting your paycheck caught up. So,
yeah. Well, and there's a lot of people that are blissfully unaware of politics in their life at all ages.
Well,
right?
Very true.
But I don't get that luxury.
And it wasn't that I was trying to pick, but I was thinking, okay, like, if we go back in time, because just again, your awareness of government in general outside of like what you're learning in textbooks is kind of my point. That was where I was going with it. Okay, so Janet Yellen. So Janet used to be in charge.
Yep. So
pass the buck.
Well,
not literally,
Janet,
but haha.
Janet retired and Jerome Powell took over. And now she is being tapped. But just the reason is when she came after Ben Bernanke was famous for saying he would literally throw money from the sky from helicopters if he had to in order to provide enough liquidity in the marketplace to keep things stable.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. We were going through a deflationary cycle, right? Houses were declining in price. People were losing their jobs. And it was a very economic challenging time. So economically challenging. And so Ben Bernanke said, well, we need to stabilize the system. So we got to lower interest rates and flood the market with money.
He was just trying to figure out how to stop the bleeding and get the heart beating again.
In essence, remember, if you're trying to wonder why you would do that, really simply, if things are dropping in price, you need more dollars in people's hands so they can spend too much on it, right? That's how you generate inflation, is more dollars chasing the same amount of goods is inflationary. So make more dollars. And that's what the Federal Reserve was doing, was making more dollars. And lowering interest rates means banks can loan more dollars out. And that's ultimately where you saw, and we've seen this long tail from 2008 where interest rates have dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped.
Yeah, they're like 2% now or something, like 2%. I mean,
yeah, I'm looking at the 10-year Treasury yield right now. Let's see if I can actually pull this up live. It looks like,
I mean, it's crazy low right now.
Oh, it was up. It's in below 1%. I don't know if we broke above that or not.
So do you
still
ever think?
It looks like it's still just below 1% for 10-year notes.
Do you think we're ever going to have like a negative? Because aren't there some countries in Europe that have a negative?
Their
interest rate? Like it's maybe I'm wrong about that. But
yes. I mean, Europe has had negative interest rates in certain environments. I think it's highly unlikely
that we will have that
in the United States. Because as the world's reserve currency, we can just they're using other methodologies for it. That's what quantitative easing was all about. Okay, quantitative easing is about driving rates towards zero, but essentially it's the Federal Reserve buying up all of the treasuries and the that are being printed that produced.
Got
right?
It.
So they'll bid anything for it. They'll pay any price to get it, more or less, which guarantees a market. If you guarantee a price that will always go higher, yields drop. Yields are how we calculate interest rates, essentially. So they're providing all the demand for the bond marketplace.
So Bernanke was all about quantitative easing, and
Janet Yellen
came on his
torch.
Heels. Okay.
And now if Janet Yellen is heading into office with the Biden administration, what does that mean? And the suggestion is Janet Yellen is being brought to the table to help aid in the creation of more stimulus.
Oh, interesting.
Right. And what is more stimulus? More money from heaven.
But isn't it a loan that we're doing? Like, I mean, it's not like just magic money that shows up. I mean, there's ramifications for it, isn't there?
I haven't decided yet. And neither has the government.
Ah.
How many times have the PPP rules changed?
Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
OK. And you know why? You know why we get that response? Because Katie's done the paperwork like 11 times.
True. That's my new thing. Hashtag truth.
Well, you know, we've had to become sort of part-time experts in it because we get the questions from our clients and all over the place.
Well,
right?
And I know bankers that are just like, hold tight a little bit longer because they're going to change the rules again before the end of the year.
That's the issue. And I know CPAs that are still wondering about
how are they
going to
do taxes next year. Yeah.
Yep. So the hits keep coming. So with Janet Yellen, if we're going to see more stimulus, again, it's pennies from heaven. right? And if that occurs, if we get more pennies from heaven, what does that in theory mean? And it means that we should see more dollars in circulation that should be inflationary in nature. The Fed as an organization, the Federal Reserve Banking System, or the Federal Open Market Committee, or FOMC, has the stated objective now. They said, we're trying to get to a target average inflation rate of 2%. They're willing to let it go higher than that for a period of time to measure. So Janet's not there anymore, but she's going to be working with the Biden administration. It's going to be working with the Federal Reserve. So it's a kumbaya group, right? Hey, let's get the band back together.
Really? That's where you went with it? So if inflation goes up, does that mean the market should go up too?
Well, in theory, yes, but it can disconnect. And this is where money managers are still trying to figure out what's going to happen. Think about it this way for a minute. I'm going to use a funny illustration, but I'm going to use an Albert Einstein illustration for a minute.
Okay.
So when Albert Einstein came up with the theory of relativity, what he said is he tried to imagine himself flying through space at the speed of light as if he was riding on that beam of light and looking at what occurred around him. And that is where the theory of relativity sort of started, was the idea that if you were, there was a clock and you took off at the speed of light and looked behind your, over your shoulder at the clock, the time would never change. Because you're moving at the same speed as the light that came off of the face of the clock. So your position relative to that light is the same. So it's as if time freezes.
Oh, interesting. Okay?
Now, take that concept and pretend that you're a dollar bill riding through the financial system. And where does it go? And where do people want to put their money to take advantage of circumstance? So as an example, if there's going to be inflation, is the dollar getting stronger or weaker?
Isn't it getting weaker?
Getting weaker, right? It has less purchasing power. If the dollar is getting weaker, how does that affect our currency compared to foreign countries?
Oh, good question.
And the answer is, how is their currency doing? Is it getting stronger or weaker?
Oh, that was a good question. So what happens if everybody gets weaker altogether? Does
that happen? Then it's sort of at parity. That's kind of how we got away with so much global stimulus in a pandemic. If it hits everybody and everybody waters down the punch at the same rate, it just kind of...
It's all still the same punch then because it's...
It's like everybody had the same net result, close enough. It doesn't really fix the problem, but at least we've all agreed...
It's everybody's problem.
Kick the same can down the road so we all have the same problem, right?
Got it. Okay.
But in theory, if our currency is getting weaker and another currency is not, then it will weaken against that currency, which now makes it cheaper for the other country to buy our product, but more expensive for us to buy it from them. Changes trade balance, changes where money flows through the financial system.
Well, and it changes how things come in and out of our country, too.
Correct. And so there's this cause and effect. And so that's a lot of what we do in our investment committee. And that's a lot of what I personally do in my spare time of just thinking about the impact of things. So I look at the strategy and say, well, that's fascinating. If Janet Yellen gets in there, it's an indication that more stimulus is coming. And then it's, well, what will a stimulus package look like? And what will that look like amongst the backdrop of higher corporate taxes? Because that's something the Biden administration has stated they want to see. And also because even with a Senate not flipping, right, if the Senate stays in Republican hands and everything else goes Democrat, then you get sort of policy gridlock. But the original tax cuts weren't permanent. So they will sunset in a few years and the taxes will go back to pre-rates anyway. So the taxes will go higher mechanically whether we have legislation or not because the policy will sunset. And
meaning it'll expire.
It'll expire. Okay. And then the rates drift higher again. And once, you know, assuming that occurs, how does that affect the system? So this is what the amateur economist that I, you know, get to play on TV does with my spare time is think about these silly things.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense, though, because, I mean, it's not looking just at what's happening day to day, but what's happening in the next couple years and the next administration and even in the next 20 years.
Well, right, because investing is a long-term game, right?
Right.
You know, we're not talking about, hey, you know.
Buy this tomorrow and sell it tomorrow.
I bought this thing and 2 hours later, I'm going to sell it. People do that. That's called
Day trading.
Yeah, or, you know, and there's lots of names for it. Scalping, microtrading, whatever you want to call it. But that's...
Scalping doesn't sound good.
Well, that's a real... That's an actual trading term. This is not derogatory in the
least. No, I know. It just doesn't sound good.
Right. I suppose that is true. So, look, what is this going to mean for our investors? And if you're looking at, okay, great, so 2021, what should we be putting on our radar, or at least what do you think Little John Financial's got on their radar? We will cover that, but we have to take our last obscene profit break. So we will do that, and then I don't know where the profit goes, but somewhere there's profit, right?
Goes to keep us on the air, David.
Okay, we got to rock. So this is Dave Little John.
And Katie Shook.
And Kelsey Davis.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. This is Dave Littlejohn in studio. Joining me
is Katie Shook
and Kelsey Davis.
And Kelsey, first of all, thanks. So you're getting better at this, too. She's already picking up on the cues.
And smiling more.
Right. I think we're just we're going to have to get her in studio more. I like the rotation here. Right. I like to that we bring different team members on when they're in town. I suppose we could do this remote, too.
We can. It is nice. I mean, we go back and forth because there's times when I go up to Salem and there's times when Shannon's come in from Bend and so mm-hmm. on. So it's but it is nice because we feel more cohesive if we get to sit with one another once in a while.
I will say that as great as technology is to facilitate a lot of things, and we do a bunch with technology.
Nothing the beats a face-to-face.
Human interaction is just a lot. It's hard for technology to simulate it well. My suspicion is we're going to get darn good at it. And it's one of my investment theses, right? At the break, I promised I implied, we'll call it a promise, that I want to talk about some themes that I think investors should pay attention to.
Right.
These are not advice themes that I expect you to go out and chase down, but I think they're interesting ones to consider as to what does the future look like?
Yeah, you said what does this mean for our investors and what's right on our radar?
So let's talk about terms here. So investment terms, I'm going to do sort of 1 year, 5 year, 10 year.
Okay.
Or more than 5 year. In the next year, we look for a transition back to Democratic leadership in the White House.
Right.
I think that you will see philosophically higher corporate taxes come back into the picture. I will continue to beat this drum, and I'll say it again and again, and I don't care what your politics are. Corporations don't pay taxes. Oh, yeah, you can say that they do. Right.
But they pass it on to the consumer.
That's it. Like it is a cost of doing business, and it will be reflected in the number of jobs that are maintained and what the end result to the consumer is.
Right.
So the company treats it as an expense. It will get washed through the balance sheet and it will ultimately be borne by the consumer. So I think it's a false concept that you can somehow increase corporate taxes and it gives the consumer a pass. We're just changing the way the tax is paid.
Right.
Right. So it will just be passed on to the consumer in the form of higher prices. The government will get it first from the company, and then they won't get it out of your pocket, but your pocket will have less in it because everything will cost more.
It's already, I feel like right? Some of the prices have already started to climb a little bit.
Oh, they are. You know, and we do have inflation in different categories depending on capital access.
Because still have supply chain issues.
Yeah. So I am very fascinated by the housing market. I want to see what the impact of COVID and additional shutdowns has. I think that we're yet to really see the pain of foreclosures because the government has kind of made it such that banks can't foreclose.
Well, it's ripples, right? It's all the little ripples and tears that are going to happen through the fabric over the next 5 to 10 years.
The government cannot artificially demand a market perform the way it wants to. You can't say you can't evict tenants that don't pay and you can't foreclose on mortgage payers that don't pay. right? The financial system for a little while can be asked to just shoulder the burden, and you can try to sweep it under the carpet. But that type of economic policy making, policy doesn't make reality. Like reality nope. doesn't really care about policy, right? It's like, well, making a minimum wage doesn't change the economic reality that the pricing structure will then adapt to the different wages. And the wage is going to be valued at the value of the job, not the worker.
Right.
I know that drives people nuts, right? But labor, the more easily labor can be outsourced or that it can be trained for something else to do. So basically, if labor is fungible, then the price is too.
Well,
it has to be a skill.
It's broken, right? Because it's like, oh, if we're going to increase minimum wage and make everything twice as expensive, then all of a sudden the widget or the burger or whatever it is, we always use fast food, the burger becomes twice as expensive. And everybody went, no, wait, I want the cheap burger, but I want to get paid twice as much to make it. And it's like, well, no, that doesn't work that way because your employer needs extra money to now pay you the higher wage.
Right. And there's probably somebody out there that says, well, super mega corporation that makes, you know, Uber money, they can afford it. And to
sorry,
which,
was that a loud noise?
Yeah. And, you know, we don't have time to unpack that one, but I will just
not
suggest
today.
That you can't legislate to the one company and then apply it to the other 10,000 companies and think that the results are going to work out the way you're shooting for.
Right.
So, laws are supposed to be applied equally across everybody, not selectively target people.
Right. So 1 year, 5 year, 10 year.
Yeah. So
quickly.
5 years out. Short term, I think that we see some inflationary pressures. I'll be watching the housing market, and I'll be watching the strength of the dollar and what that means for markets outside of the United States.
Okay.
Over the next 5 years, I think that there are certain technologies that I really want to look at, and especially 10 years out. But over the next 5 years, I think the autonomous driving and a lot of the gig economy. I find autonomous driving fascinating because it's a way for high-density areas to manage
flow.
Moving people.
Yeah.
Because computers can route people and do smart routing.
Right.
And then I think the 10-year time horizon, and the reason 10 years is because I think it will just take that long for us to really perfect it. But I think Zoom goes into a virtual environment. Like you can put on a VR headset and you will feel like you are with somebody
in a
different space. And you may not be able to touch them, but you will. Yeah, I know the movies and all the.
I know. I'm just totally thinking of like Demolition Man, where he's sitting in the conference room with all the people at the table. There's so many movies.
Yeah, but this one will be more like a put on your goggles or your helmet or whatever, and you will see such a highly accurate representation of somebody that you will be able to pick up on body language cues, and it will feel a lot more natural than a screen view.
True.
So I think those are going to be really interesting trends, and again, not advice, but. So is it investable? Maybe, right? And you'll have to look at that for yourself. But they're things that we're watching because I find them super interesting. So anyway, that is the music, which means
We're out of time.
So Katie, how do our listeners reach us if they have more questions?
They can check out the website, littlejohnfs.com, or give us a call, 541-375-0898.
All right, gang. Well, look, thanks as always for joining us. Check out the website, littlejohnfs.com.
Listen to the podcast.
And we will catch you next time. Until then, this has been David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And Kelsey Davis.
And it's been True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial. Opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.